Dr. Hari Haran Reganuth joins us today. He is a medical director at the Progressive Care Unit at the University Hospital and also an assistant professor of clinical medicine at the University of Missouri School of Medicine. Doctor, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're very welcome, Bob.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all. How did you get started in the medical profession?
Well, I did my medical school in India, and inspired by some of my own family members were physicians. I came into the United States in 2010 for residency fellowship, and I was inspired into critical care medicine and infectious disease based on my experiences through the medical school. And I am an assistant professor in infectious disease and critical care right now at the University of Missouri.
Is that something you really enjoy? Has it really become a passion for you?
Absolutely. Taking care of sick patients is the most satisfying thing I do. So being a critical care physician, I enjoy every bit of it.
Is it safe to say there's something new every day for you?
Absolutely. The diseases are new. The circumstances are new. The treatments are new. What more do I want?
All right. I know you've conducted a recent study showing some promise in the treatment of people living in rural areas who are diagnosed with acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. First of all, doctor, what is that?
So the term itself is self-explanatory. Acute means sudden onset, typically within hours to days. And the rest of it is respiratory distress syndrome means it's a condition where the lungs suffer severe and widespread injury, resulting in difficulties to deliver oxygen to the bloodstream. So let me give it a little more perspective. Normal, healthy lungs, they regulate the movement of fluid in and out of the lung very well without much problems, so we all have enough oxygen in our blood. But in acute respiratory distress syndrome, I'm going to refer it to commonly as ARDS from now on. There is a disturbance because of diffuse lung injury, and this results in excess fluid accumulation in the air sacs in the lung and also between the air sacs and the blood vessels. So that's why this leads to gas exchange problems. Not only that, the lungs are normally like a sponge, but with ARDS, they become heavy, and they become like a balloon filled with water. And it makes it very difficult for patients to breathe, and they often require mechanical ventilator support in addition to oxygen.
So, doctor, what causes this condition?
Well, it can affect anybody in general, but patients with certain clinical conditions are more likely or at risk to develop ARDS. And I would say the most common ones are often pneumonia or sepsis. Sepsis is an infection with a severe inflammatory response in our body. And aspiration, mainly aspiration of gastric contents, which is causing chemical damage to the lungs in a diffuse way. There are other risk factors, and some of the other common risk factors include, for example, like a major motor vehicle trauma, where there is a crash injury that resulted in a major chest wall injury, causing diffuse lung damage. Certain drugs, especially if you inhale them, illicit drugs, certain toxic fumes, especially in people working in certain industries like manufacturing or agriculture, who are at risk of being exposed to toxic fumes, they can develop diffuse lung injury. And smoking, patients who get massive blood transfusion. So if I go on, there are about more than 60 conditions that places them at risk. But mainly people with pneumonia, sepsis, and major aspiration of gastric contents. They're the three major groups, I would say.
And when you talk about respiratory distress, and you mentioned smoking, how much of a factor does that play in it?
Generally speaking, smoking causes damage to the lung, irreversible damage to the lung. The most common diseases smoking lead to are COPD and lung cancer. But because they already have an already damaged lining of the lung, they are more prone, smokers are more prone to develop ARDS. And if they have an underlying lung disease like COPD, they're at an even higher risk for developing ARDS. So it's not an exact quantity, it's just the yes or no, are they smokers or are they not? If they are smokers, then they are at a higher risk for developing ARDS. That's pretty much it.
Doctor, can ARDS affect people of all ages, including potentially youngsters too?
Yes, it can. It can affect from, but the risk goes up as we become older, and beyond 35 onwards, till we are like 80, 90, it's a linear relationship with age, mainly because the number of medical comorbidities also increase with age. Even diseases like coronary artery disease, heart failure, diabetes mellitus, hypertension, with added chronic comorbidities, we are at higher risk to develop diffuse lung injury.
So what are some of the real challenges you as a physician face in treating someone who's got ARDS?
So we know that there is no magic bullet here to, or an agent or a drug therapy that is specifically designed for definitive cure for ARDS, because it's a diffuse lung injury. So the treatment is mainly focused on supporting patient while the lung heals. So we basically have to give it time until the healing process sets in. More than 50% of patients with ARDS require mechanical ventilation in addition to oxygen therapy. And the ventilator delivers oxygen via a tube inserted into the trachea, the windpipe. And how does it deliver? It delivers at a certain pressure and volume. We all know for movement of fluids, we need pressure and volume. But it's very important here to be cognizant about not aggravating the lung damage further by giving mechanical ventilation. Too much pressure or volume of air can stretch this diseased lung further and result in more damage. So that's why it's important that we be careful in not to cause more damage. National guidelines are there. They provide certain guidance on specific parameters, and we have to monitor them closely while mechanically ventilating them. Sometimes in patients with severe ARDS, even with the best measures, we are unable to achieve adequate oxygenation of blood. And in those cases, we may have to use an external device called ECMO, which is basically like a heart-lung machine used during bypass surgeries to help us oxygenate blood outside the body and deliver it back to the patients. That procedure is associated with high risks and complications by itself. So these are some options that are available, but it's important to remember that we should not cause more damage to the lungs in an effort to oxygenate the patients better. So that's one of the main challenges we have as physicians when we use mechanical ventilation for managing patients with ARDS. And of course, the most important thing is recognizing it early and treating it preemptively, and especially treating the underlying cause. Of all the causes that we mentioned before, it's important to treat those causes early and quickly so that we can avoid spinning the wheel towards more severe lung injury and trying to address it down the road, which becomes very difficult.
Doctor, based on what you just told me, each patient probably needs to be treated very individually and be monitored very closely, don't they?
That is very, very true. Every patient's profile is different. Everybody's lung sizes are different, and body habitus is different. So you are very correct in saying that.
So what are some of the signs that someone should look for that they may need to get looked at for ARDS?
So ARDS is a diagnosis made based on the oxygen level in the blood and the amount of oxygen that is required to ventilate them. So a physician is required to make the diagnosis. It's more of a syndrome rather than a disease itself. So what I mean by that is, if somebody has shortness of breath, having symptoms and signs of pneumonia, and they go to the hospital and they're requiring more and more levels of oxygen to ventilate them to the point that they're on the mechanical ventilator, depending on the blood gas testing, we should be able to make, and the findings in the chest X-ray, the physician makes a diagnosis of ARDS. And the moment they make a diagnosis of ARDS, after that, it's important to follow the rules to prevent further lung injury in order to maintain the course towards improvement. So nothing specific we can do to prevent it at this point, because this is a mode of injury that happens, unfortunately, during disease processes, that it's sometimes difficult and hard to predict, but once it happens, we have to be careful in managing them. So that is more important.
So, doctor, kind of what you're saying, too, if someone's experiencing maybe a little trouble breathing and they may think it's minor to them, go in and get it looked at so you can find out what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If there is a major change in their oxygen requirements, especially those who are on chronic oxygen therapy, because oxygen, when we give, normal room air is 21%. 2 liters is like 25 to 30%. 4 liters is 35%. 6 liters is up to 40%, 6 liters and above. So the total number of liters, if they go up on incremental levels of oxygen than what they're on, or if somebody who's not on oxygen is going to the hospital for symptoms of pneumonia and they require 6 or 8 liters of oxygen, that means they are at risk for developing progressive lung injury and ARDS. They have to be careful.
Doctor, how about your study? What all did you look at? What did you find out?
So in our study, we looked at to see, as I mentioned before, ventilator delivers air at a certain pressure and volume, and it's the amount of volume that we deliver is based on the patient's height and a calculated body weight called ideal body weight. So national guidelines recommend that we should use low volumes of air or smaller volumes of air, up to 6 mils per kilogram of body weight, that's estimated based on the height. So we, in order to mitigate further lung injury, we thought we may have room to go down even further on the tidal volume or the volume of air used for ventilating to see if the patient would maintain the level of oxygenation that we had achieved, and then do we have room to go down even further so that we can reduce the lung injury as much as we can, and obviating the need for using the external device, the ECMO device, which is associated with high complications. Because oftentimes when they go to the level of not being able to be oxygenated with maximal measures, we had to transfer patients out to centers that very well experienced to do ECMO. And in our hospital, we typically don't have ECMO readily available for medical patients. We have it for surgical patients. So we thought we would, to keep our patients in our hospitals closer to their home environment, we thought we should go down on the tidal volume and see if our patients did well. And we've been doing that successfully on an individual case-by-case basis. Then we decided to collectively look at our data and see how many patients did we do in 2 years who had severe ARDS, how much low we went on the amount of volume of air that we used. And we were surprised to see that in certain patients, we went down to as low as 2 mils per kilogram of body weight. And we were able to successfully ventilate them without the use of ECMO machine. And we were able to retain our patients here within the University of Missouri, closer to their homes, convenient for them, and the outcomes are not different.
Boy, that's got to be good news for patients, too, because I think everyone wants to be seen as close to home as they can be, don't they?
Exactly. Especially diseases like ARDS, where the ripple effects of the disease itself, in the long run, it affects your quality of life, it affects your behavior, and because of such long-term ripple effects, it's important that we deliver care closer to home, their home environment. Otherwise, the implications will be even worse in regards to long-term cares and outcomes. Staying far away from home is devastating for anybody, especially when they're sick.
Doctor, how important is it to educate the primary care physicians, too, about ARDS? Because it affects some 200,000 people each year.
Absolutely. So In regards to the measures that improve ARDS, being aware of it, intervening early are important. So primary care physicians, being aware that the patient's oxygen requirements are going up and they are getting into pneumonia and severe ARDS, obviously if their assessment and if their judgment in recognizing this early goes up, there may be a scope that these patients get recognized early, and we can prevent the further adverse events by not recognizing it early. So obviously there is scope there, but not as much as for the hospitalists in peripheral rural hospitals who are often managing the ICUs. I think it's more important for the local community hospital physicians who are in-hospital physicians or inpatient physicians who manage the ICUs to be aware that they have to use a modality that is preventing further ventilator-induced lung injury. That would be of even more of an impact than the measures implemented at the primary care physician. So that's my take on it.
Doctor, I'm guessing a lot of times when you see these cases, they are already at an advanced stage. Would that be correct?
That is true, and our data is skewed because we are a referring, we are a referral hospital. So from our referring center, compared to our referring centers, we see a lot more patients who are sick because they don't come here as such. We're like a bottleneck in the middle of Missouri, Columbia. We get patients from the north, south, and the two circles around Kansas City and St. Louis gravitate towards Kansas City and St. Louis. So, but we do see entire mid-Missouri, we get the majority of our patients here. And by the time they get here, they are most of the time in a pretty advanced stage. But in our patient population, usually when the disease progresses rapidly within 24 to 48 hours, they get transferred to our facilities, at least the behavior of our referring hospitals, including Moberly Regional. When they have trouble oxygenating patients and their measures have failed, they tend to transfer our patients. But it's important to remember that the initial mode of ventilation, even for a few hours, if it is not, one, compliant with the requirements for reducing ventilator-induced lung injury, then it can quickly damage the lungs even further and result in more problems.
So some of the first hours of treatment at a rural hospital are critical, aren't they?
They are very, very important. The first few hours, especially the first 24 hours, 36 hours, that's when the lung damage is climbing up to its peak, and it's really important to be using modes of ventilation that are protective to the lung rather than causing more harm.
Doctor, you said something early on that I just kind of wanted to follow up on. You mentioned how the lung can at times heal itself. That's got to be fascinating.
Yes, human body is amazing. The entire field of medicine relies upon the ability of the body to heal. And ARDS is a disease process that is unpredictable, but it can be detected early after it has happened. And after that, the focus should be on not causing more damage by mechanically ventilating them. The disease process itself, any disease process usually has its own time course. Any inflammation that's set in the body with appropriate therapy and supportive care usually takes about 48 to 96 hours to recover. In that time frame, our treatment modalities should not be harming them more. So that's why it's important to recognize ARDS early and be supportive and cause less ventilator-induced lung injury.
Doctor, is ARDS hereditary at all?
Yes, they have identified certain genetic locuses, but there is not a robust evidence for saying that these are the certain genetic focuses that are definitely associated with ARDS or not. These are associations that they've found, but there is nothing very specific and robust at this time. There are still ongoing studies exploring this as a possibility.
So as we look 5 to 10 years from now, where do you see the treatment of ARDS going?
So 5 to 10 years from now, more and more ventilator-based strategies are targeting towards minimizing ventilator-induced lung injury. And with the development of precision medicine, which is the most advanced medicine right now, at least it's believed to be, which is individualizing patient care based on evidence, based on their genetic makeup, based on their social and environmental considerations as well. It's like a holistic medicine. I believe with the development of genomics in treatment and the development of the identifying the specific focuses with response to therapy that we may have some outbreaks for certain specific causes of ARDS. But ARDS itself, only improvements in the modalities of mechanical ventilator at this point, physiological concepts that reduce the pressures and the swings in the lung tissue, I would say would take about another 15 years to develop an effective modality. the disease spectrum itself is so complex, and it's not a disease entity by itself. It's an injury. So I don't think there is an insight into how to measure the quantum of injury yet at this time. So there is scope for improvement, but groundbreaking treatments will take some more time, because there is no one bottom line that is, like, for example, for MI, we all know it's blockage in the arteries. Same way for ARDS, 60 different causes. So it'll take a lot more time for us to have a groundbreaking one single modality of treatment for ARDS. But overall, with our guidelines and over the years, the way we have identified to mechanically ventilate these patients, the mortality of ARDS is actually getting better and better and better. Now, there is more and more studies looking into to see what are the long-term effects of ARDS and trying to make changes and implement changes. And one of them is focusing on keeping the patients within the close home environment. So that's why we think that our finding that we are able to go down on the tidal volume without the use of ECMO machines offers a better scope for the future. Obviously, it's a small study. It needs to be confirmed by larger studies. But we think this is one of those studies that has given scope to patients in areas that require medical outreach to be helpful, especially for the providers around there. And they use the same machines that we use. They just need to be cognizant of the fact that they have to cause less ventilator-induced lung injury. So the future, there is a good scope, but the scope will require a lot of time given the complexity of the disease process and the amount of injury that happens in ARDS from more than 60 different causes. So every cause is unique. So the ventilator strategies are key, and they will take a lot more years to find out what is the bottom line. Like you said, individualized patient care, as long as individualized patient care is the bottom line for ARDS, tweaks are needed for every single patient depending on their clinical profile. So I hope I answered your question.
All right. Hey, doctor, thank you so much. This is fascinating. We'll have to talk again. Appreciate your time.
Awesome.
Dr. Hariharan Reganuth, he's joined us today on the MRMC Doctor's Office program on Quicks Land this morning.